Hey fam, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. And if you are looking for some good sermons and words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and subscribe, like, comment, and share. That way you are up to date on all our latest content. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
Pastor Minnie, did y'all think last week was different? If you weren't here, it was different. But it was a good different. I had so many people saying, man, it was just like, we needed that. We just needed a time. That she talked about pouring out everything at the altar. What happens when we pour it all out? There's no waste at the altar. There's nothing you can pour out to God that's wasteful in any way. But in that theme, I started thinking about what I would preach about today. And we were I was thinking, there's a title of my message is called Midnight Praise. Here's where we're talking about praise and how God can do something in those times when we get our hands lifted and we don't really think there's anything going on. There's times when things can shift in the atmosphere. There's times when things can shift in your life when you're praising God. So we're going to hear a story about Paul and Silas, and they were on a mission. They were taking new territory for Jesus, and they came in contact with a slave girl. And what this slave girl was doing is she was actually fortune telling. She had a spirit of divination. I don't know if I said that right. But she was telling the futures, and her bosses, her owners, were making quite a bit of money on her because she was telling people what was up, you know what I'm saying? But they made a lot of money on her. But look at Acts 16. Said, this girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. She was saying the right things, but for the wrong reasons. Can I tell you what happens? The enemy sometimes, he always disguises some truth in the lie, right? My wife always said there's always some truth in every lie, you know? I'm very sarcastic, and so she says sometimes you have to watch your sarcasm because it can come. Anybody sarcastic in the room here? But the Bible says that he comes as an angel of light. So many times she was running around. She was saying the right things, but she had the wrong heart. I even think maybe she might be saying it in a mocking way. She was like, these are men of the Most High. I don't know. It wasn't there. But maybe she was doing it for the wrong reason. The enemy, the spirit was trying to cause a distraction. The enemy always loves to distract you when you're doing good. He wants to bring distractions when you're walking in your purpose. He wants to bring distractions where you're doing something that is advancing the kingdom of God. Acts 16, 18. And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, I'm going to talk about it later, turned around and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her that very hour. Paul got annoyed. I just love that they put that in. He got annoyed. This just shows that Paul was human, right? But you know what I love? I love that God uses real people. He uses real people who all have a lot of human traits, right? He used Peter. Peter liked to cuss. Peter was a little bit like, nah, I don't know, cuss, but okay. Jonah ran away. He tried to hide from God. Jacob, who was later named Israel, was a liar. So God, I've just got news for you today. It's not over for you yet. No matter what you've went through in your past, no matter how much you've gone through and the things, it's never over. You're not disqualified, because if God disqualified people, half the people in the Bible wouldn't be in the Bible. There's power in your tongue to speak and to rebuke the enemy. What you got to do sometimes, you just have to rebuke those distractions or whatever is trying to get you in, from being aligned with what God wants you. And when you're doing the right thing, he's always going to bring stuff about. He's going to bring the distraction. He's going to bring the discouragement. He's going to bring those things in your life to keep you, to make you turn around and go the other direction. So what he did, he cast out the spirit. The owners got angry. Well, you know why? They lost their income. So they drug them out before the magistrates, before the officials out there, and they told lies on them. Hey, say, these guys are causing a big uproar. And they tore their clothes off, and they beat them with rods. Ouch. Acts 16, 24. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison. Say, inner prison. And fastened their feet to the stocks. They were thrown on the inner prison, deeper than usual. Maybe there's an inner prison that you're still trapped in today. Maybe there's an inner prison that you're still captive in. Maybe some of the things have kind of come off of you, but there's that place down deep inside that you really don't want anyone to get to. You really don't want to hear it. Let anybody. We get trapped in the inner prison so many times. We get free from a lot of things, but there's still a lot of things that are holding us down. Unforgiveness can be one of those things that keeps you in the inner prison. You got somebody that you're holding some unforgiveness to. Many times you can't get past that because it's just so hard because of what they did or what they said. But it'll keep you. A lot of times, I said this many times before, it only keeps you captive. A lot of times they've already moved on and went about their life, but you're still held in that prison. Your childhood can affect the way you handle your problems. Maybe you didn't have good role models growing up and you had nobody in your adult life that has showed you the way. But here's two guys. Picture them landing on a cold, hard ground with open wounds, possibly broken bones. They didn't have no doctor, no bandages, no medicine. They didn't have any ibuprofen. But have you been there? Maybe you hit the ground when you found out someone you love had got cancer. Maybe you hit the ground when your marriage was on the rocks. Maybe you hit the ground hard when a loved one is battling addiction and there seems no way out of it. In those hard moments, what do you do? This is what they had to do. They had to change their perspective. Perspective is outlook, view, attitude. They had to change everything that they were seeing around them and get a different perspective. How do we change our perspective when bad things happen? Especially, here's the hard part, especially when you're doing the right thing. Especially when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Most of the time, if we're honest, we face adversity. It's usually because of us. I was just having a conversation with someone before church, and you know, sometimes the problem is us, you know? It ain't everybody else, it's us. We've made bad choices, and I tell you one thing in my life? I have never blamed God for anything, never. Because most of the stupid stuff, most of the junk I've went through in my life, I caused my own chaos. I'm not saying that's always the case, but a lot of times we choose our own messes and we stay in our messes. What did Paul and Silas do wrong to be in this mess? Absolutely nothing. They were doing the will of God and they're still in this prison and still in this mess. This morning, following Jesus is being in God's will. And it doesn't mean you're not ever going to be in a bad situation. It doesn't mean that you're not ever going to go through some things. Jesus never promised us flowers, lollipops, unicorns. None of that stuff. Matter of fact, persecution is real. Can I tell you, people are dying all over for their faith across the world. But because we don't face that same opposition, because we don't face those things, we get desensitized to it. Jesus literally said, in this world, you will have trouble. But he also says we can become overcomers too. This morning, that inner prison, I got to tell you that the devil is scared of you. We have authority over the enemy. And I'm thinking they put him on the inner prison because they thought, man, we really got him now. But I really think the enemy put him in the inner prison because he was scared to death of what Paul and Silas were about to do. We'll put him so far down that nobody will ever hear them. But I serve a God, and no matter what situation you're in, no matter how deep you've gotten yourself into, I serve a God that brings you out of that inner place. The enemy might try to put you there because you got a voice louder than anyone else. May not be a big mouth, but you might be a big mouth in the kingdom. I'm a big mouth everywhere. It's easy. I don't want no amens. It's easy to praise God, listen to me, in good health. It's easy to praise God when the kids are doing great and ain't acting a fool. It's easy to praise God when the money's good and you're on top of the mountain, but it's much harder when you're suffering in the valley. It's much harder when you can't see a good ending. You don't know that this thing is ever going to end the right way. That's when we have to remind ourselves to praise in those moments. Why? Because we have the word to stand on. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all, say all, things work together for the good. But Pastor, I don't see all things working out. You still got to praise him when you don't see it. All things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. When you're in his purpose, all things will work out. It may take a little time to get to the place where you're trying to get, but all things will work out. During these times, this is a good one. During these times, you got to get some good people around you. Silas, there's his buddy. Silas knew it wasn't going to be easy following going with Paul. I mean, if you know about all the stuff Paul went through, he knew that there would be persecution. He knew that there would be trials. But listen, what we need to do is we need to get a Silas instead of a Sam in our lives. If there's a Sam out there, I'm not offending you, but I just had to pick that name because it was close. We got to get a Silas in our life instead of a Sam. You know, that so-called friend who's always discouraging you instead of encouraging you. That so-called friend is always bringing you down. You wonder, you get around them and 15 minutes later, oh, they suck the life right out of you, if you know what I'm talking about. We got to get us a Silas instead of a Sam. Paul had someone that do go through it with him. Instead of throwing a pity party, they were getting about to wrap, they were throwing a praise party. You can get through circumstances. You can get through changes. You can get through your life with a real friend or some real friends around you. And I wrote this, and I want you to answer this yourself. Who can you be a Silas to? Maybe you've had a Silas in your life, someone who was really there, but maybe there's someone in your life you need to be a Silas to. You need to be listening to them. You need to be encouraging them. You need to be, and they're going through their darkest times. You need to be that person that says, hey, listen, you're going to get through this. You can take it. You can go with this. Acts 16:25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. Okay, leave it up there. They were beaten up, broken bones, bloody, cold, cramped. They were all of the above. But they were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. How do you react when you're in those midnight hours? My dad used to say there ain't nothing good happens after midnight. My two times in jail was 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Nothing good happened at midnight. How many of us have had that midnight experience when it's been dark and lonely and depressed and hopeless, even suicidal? Here's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to stay in that place. But we know that where there is great darkness, there's also a great light and a greater opportunity for that light to shine in the darkness. I believe that the world that we're living in today is a dark world. I'm not getting into why I believe it. I just believe it. But I believe that this is the time for us to shine. This is the time where light can come into this and invade the darkness. Because when there's a great darkness, there's also a great light. Oh. There's times when you need the light to shine. And 15 years ago, I moved to Louisville. And God was reminding me of this morning. I moved to Louisville and things that I knew for 20 years were just all different. I moved in an apartment by myself. And I remember those first couple months of just walking around my apartment, crying, just weeping to God, saying, I've never been this way. I've never been in this place before. What's going on? And I can remember distinctly one day when I was praying. And I was blubbering crying. It wasn't just a little cry. It was a blubber cry. And God said, and I turned a song on, and God said, I want you to sing through your pain right now. I want you to sing through what you're going through right now. I want you to praise me like I got the answer for... In those times, In those times, we have to start praising God and just saying, God, yeah, you're going to do it. I don't know how you're going to do it, but you're going to do it. I ain't got it all figured out, and it ain't my job to figure it all out, but I'm going to trust in you through these dark times. Our most powerful sound we have is our praise lifted in our darkest moments. Praise is something, and sometimes it's a sacrifice. Sometimes it ain't easy. Sometimes you got to praise him through the storm. But when you praise God in the darkness, you get his attention. When you praise him, it's easy to praise when everything's going good. It's easy to worship him when things are going good. When everything's breaking, all hell's breaking loose in your life, that's when the time you need to lift up a praise to God. God, I am going to praise you no matter what's going on. When you praise him in the dark, he gets his attention. So in their midnight hour, they changed their perspective to prayer and praise. They changed their song from a country song to a praise song. You know what a country song is? You play it backwards, you get your wife back, you get your dog back. I had to throw that in there, I'm sorry. But what kind of song are you singing? What kind of song are you listening to? Because so many times we can get ourselves drugged down by the, and I'm not getting on music, I love music, I like country music too, but sometimes you have to listen to what you're listening to. Sometimes I've heard even contemporary Christian music, and I start listening to some of the words. I'm like, that don't make a lick of sense. That ain't even biblical. It matters what you listen to, and it matters the song that you're singing. Because your life is a song. You're singing it every day. You're singing it out in the public. You're singing it at Kroger. You're singing it at Walmart. You're singing it at your job. It's your life is what you're doing when you're out singing a song. Praise shifts our focus from our problems to God's power. King Jehoshaphat in the Old Testament, he was told there was a multitude, armies coming at him at all sides. He was almost surrounded. He prayed and he fasted. The Lord's been convicting me of that one too. And this was the result. Look at 2 Chronicles. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of his holiness. As they went out before the army, they were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. When they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. They didn't pull a sword. Wish they had an AK. They didn't have it. They started singing praises to God. What happens when you start singing praises in those midnight hours, in those times when you don't know, it sets an ambush for the enemy. They start fighting. Oh, all the demons don't know what to do when you're praising when you shouldn't be praising. They don't know. They don't understand, but you should be down right now, but I'm going to praise God. The ambushes came around. These guys didn't even have to pick up a weapon to fight their battle. Paul and Silas were praising God before the provision. Often we hold off praising God until he provides what we want, right? Oh, thank you, Jesus. I got the job. And thank you. How about the times when you're still looking for that job, or you're still looking for that right person, or you're still looking for that? Until he provides what we want, we act like little bratty kids sometimes, little entitled kids sometimes, right? We won't be grateful until we get what we want. Paul and Silas praised God before he answered any of their prayers. They praised God before he changed their circumstances. And how you react in your midnight hour affects other people. Remember what I said? And the prisoners were listening. Acts 16. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were loosed. They did not praise God. They did not praise God because he showed up. God showed up because they praised him. When we praise him, he will show up. When he shows up, he will change our perspective. And when he changes our perspective, it will change our life. Our praise sets the atmosphere to open doors for God to do more and more. That's why I want this church to become a house of praise, to get, open up the atmosphere, to break every chain off. Come on, worship is our warfare. It gives invitation when we praise for the Holy Spirit to come. Praise and prayer equal power. Acts 16. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, "Don't harm yourself, for we are all here." That dude could sleep through an earthquake. You ever heard somebody say they could sleep through a tornado? I've told this story before. I had a boy who used to work for me. He was always late. I'd call him at 10 after 8. Supposed to be there at 7:30. And one day he answered the phone. He's low. And in the background, it's bam, 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 bam. I was like, "Keith, can you not hear?" Isn't that annoying when you're in a household where somebody's alarm just keeps going off and keeps going off? You're like, can they not hear what is going on around them? This dude could sleep through an earthquake. But Paul called out to him in a loud voice, saying, "Don't harm yourself, for we are all here." Our praise opens the door for God to work. Listen to this. But just because the door is open doesn't mean you need to walk through it. Our instinct, our flesh, may want to get the heck out of Dodge, right? Come on, you saw the doors open, you were a prisoner. First thing you'd want to do is get out of there, right? But when we stay still and when we stand still, and it can impact somebody else's life. The world is watching. They're looking for our reactions to bad situations. Are we going to bust the door down when it starts getting bad and get the heck out of Dodge? When we're going to run when times get hard? Or are we going to ask, what is your purpose through the pain? What is your purpose into this circumstance? What are you trying to let me see, God? And what do you have for me to do? Joseph Campbell, quote, "The cave you fear to enter holds the treasure that you seek." So many times we're standing at the edge of that cave and we don't want to go in, but there's a treasure on the inside of that. So many times you're standing on the edge of a situation or a circumstance, and God said, "If you'll just kind of go through it with me, I'll show you the purpose on the other side of it." But so many times we stand at the door. We stand at the door in fear. We stand at the door of disbelief, and we never take that step and go forward. Paul didn't plan to go to prison, but he was willing to submit to God in the prison. He was willing to praise God in the prison. What we don't do can be as important as what we do. You know why they didn't leave? They still had a job to do. They still had a purpose to fulfill. More will happen. More will happen when you stay than when you leave. Acts 16:29. "Then he called for a light. He ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" This is good. The same people that were holding you captive or speaking negatively about you one day are going to turn to you and ask and say, "What have you been doing? I see a difference in you. All hell's breaking loose in your life, but you ain't acting on that. You're praising God through the storms." Those same people who try to talk down to you, they're going to say, "How can we do that? How can we be saved? We should infect this world for so long, going out into this world so much that people, when you walk into the room, you change the atmosphere. You don't walk around with a cloud over your head. You walk around in the glory cloud." We have to change the atmosphere. I love this quote. "What the enemy meant for evil, God turned it for good." He meant to put him in the inner prison, but yet, look what happens. No, I'm getting ahead of myself. How would you have handled it? In times, in the natural, we get so bent out, come on, we get so bent out of shape of every little thing that's happening that we don't see God in the middle of it. I can think of things in my life that 10, 15, 20 years ago that, man, I didn't see God in none of it. Come on, y'all been there before. God, you ain't nowhere to be found in this. Then 15 years later, 20 years later, you see the purpose of what you had to go through. You see the things that you had to endure. You see the sacrifices you had to make. You see the things you had to change. And it changes your perspective. Our circumstances can lead others to be saved. Look what happens when we're obedient, even in the hard times. Acts 16:34. Now when they had brought them into the house, he set food, this is Paul and Silas, he set food before them, and he rejoiced having believed in God. Him and his whole household, his whole family was saved because they made the choice to praise at midnight. His whole family was saved because they made a choice to not sit and wallow in their pity, to not sit and, I'm guilty of this one, y'all, not to sit and wallow in their pity, but to get up and say, I'm going to praise you, God, because I know there's an outcome. I know there's someone else I can affect. I know that there's a different purpose in what you have for me. His whole family was saved because they didn't turn tail. They didn't run. There was chains broken off because they were obedient, even in the hard times. I got news for you, y'all. We may face some stuff coming up in the near future. I don't know. It may shock us to the core. It may make us believe. I think we're in a place, we're in a season where now we got to start believing God for more than we ever believed him for. Our bank account's good, but it ain't God. Our job is good, but it ain't God. Sometimes we got to know that there's somebody controlling our finances. There's somebody controlling the things around us. And I think we just need to start leaning in on God and saying, God, no matter what happens, I'm going to praise you. No matter what, all hell breaking loose in my life, I want some people to see the praise that goes up in my mouth. If y'all would stand with me, please. I stand up here knowing that times in your life could be hard. I stand up here knowing that there's been times in your life you just wanted to quit and maybe even run away. But in the midnight hour, you have to understand that your friends, your family, your school, your community, your city, they're depending on you. I would encourage you, keep singing. I would encourage you to keep praising. I would encourage you to keep praying. Even though you might not see it, pray like you believe it's already done. This morning, maybe you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you're here today to see someone get baptized, but you never made that profession of faith to Him. Maybe you never accepted Him as your Savior. I want to invite you to pray a prayer with me. And there's something about this prayer. This prayer says believing. Yes, it might be simple, but if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, you can be saved. As I've said many times, those words might not be hard to say. Living it out in the world is something that you need discipleship with. It's something you need the next steps with. It's something you need help with this body of believers. Let's all bow our heads if we would, please. Maybe you've never made that profession of faith. You could just say in your heart, say, Jesus, I'm here this morning and I'm a sinner. And I need salvation. I confess that I've took the wrong road and I've done the wrong things. But this morning I want things to change. Come into my heart. Come into my mind. Come into my spirit and make me new. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died on a cross for my sins. And I want to accept you as my Savior this morning. Sometimes those prayers felt that are heartfelt, God hears and he understands. There's going to be people up on the left and the right here that will pray with you. It will take you to your next steps if you're not really familiar with what's going on. I'm also asking you this morning, if you've, maybe you've been going through something and you need a midnight praise. Maybe you've been going through something and man, I gotta get my praise on this morning. Even if it's just basically coming down here and lifting your hands. Because I believe when we sang the last of that song, I felt some things shift in the atmosphere. I felt some chains break. I felt some burdens start to lighten up. So as they get ready to sing this song, we get ready to baptize. If you want to come down here and lift your hands and just say, God, I've been in the midnight hours, and I want to praise you through it.
Thank you so much for joining us today. To find out more information about what we're all about here, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you, we're praying for you, and we'll see you next week.